sounded like a frog trying to break in.
Somebody needs to keep these frogs out.
Okay, 1 Peter 2, verse 11. Let's all stand and we'll read, I think, 7 verses, if I can do math the right way. Verse 11, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. And when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to shame or to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we are so thankful to have this opportunity in the midst of this week and in the midst of our summer, after, you know, chilling in summertime, to come back together and to meet with you and to spend time in your word, to be moving through 1 Peter and to be learning more about you and about ourselves and about this letter that Peter really writes directly to us as Christians in this world that you've called us to live in. So we pray that you would speak to us. Open our hearts and our minds for what you have for us, and speak through me so that we can grow deeper in you, Lord, so that everything I say is directly from you to our hearts. We give you this morning, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. So today, I have kind of a surprise, and the best kind of prize is a surprise. And we're beginning a new section of 1 Peter. It's like, you could even call it like a little mini-series within the main series of 1 Peter. Yeah, a little cute little mini-series. How exciting is that? And it's probably going to last 3, maybe 4 teachings. And for those of you who know me, for a series, that's really short. And it's going to take us to, I think it will take us to like the beginning of chapter 4 or to the end of chapter 3, like right around in that area. And this new section is all about the way that we should live as Christians in this world. And that's our little mini series screen. Woo! It's so exciting. Woo! Yay! So much! Woo-hoo! So excited! And this is a topic that we as Christians, that you as junior high Christians as well, that you are always going to be wrestling with inside of your mind and inside of your heart and just within your relationship with God. Like, as a Christian, what sort of things can I embrace that are in this world? And what are the things that I need to just completely avoid, that if they're in my life now, I need to cut them out of my life? Or what are the things that I need to be sure as I grow up that I need to keep those out of my life, or I need to bring them into my life? How should I handle things like politics, and like if and when the government makes a decision that I do not agree with, what do I do? Do I like dig a hole to China and like live in a bunker and like shave my head bald so no one recognizes me and like live as a fugitive? I don't know. We'll see from 1 Peter. As a Christian, what is the interaction with my bosses supposed to be? And I know all of you are like, man, I just can't handle my bosses right now. Just kidding. Your junior hires. Do any of you work? Like, I really? Like a for your parents or? Are you, you're kidding? You're joking with me? Oh my goodness, Kylie! Wow. I had like a really ghetto painting job in junior high. And your grandma's a tough boss, huh? Always cracking the whip. Mad when you're late. Tacy, you're 5 minutes late. Get to work.
No cookies for you.
Do you work, like, on your dad's farm?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Do you get, like, an allowance?
Well, we get, like, per hour.
Whoa. I've never been paid an allowance. Never once. Yeah, Liz?
I pick up logs.
That's sad.
A log?
No.
No!
Well, logs are big, so I'm like...
Like, some of them are, like, this big.
Yeah. How are you just picking up a log?
No, I pick up logs.
I get it. But to do multiple logs, you at least need to do one.
Yeah. Okay.
You walk? You what?
I wash floors.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Grace?
$5
That's pretty good. I've never been paid an allowance.
It's just like tidying. It's like, oh, you're going to...
Do you get the money, or do your parents put it in like a fund towards you? Because I knew some kids that, it was like, now you get
$5
toward a new pair of shoes. And you're like, yes, new shoes right around the corner. For your future. Yeah, Sam.
I work for
No way. Oh my goodness. Do you guys have an HGTV show?
Oh wait, no.
He's all, yes, catch me on Flip or Flop.
Yes!
That's so cool. That's awesome. I have always wanted to do that, but I feel like one time I wanted to renovate my bathroom. But I didn't, and I'm thankful.
Because
they make it look so easy on TV. It's like everybody who watches that, they come away, even if they've never touched a hammer, they're like, oh, I can do that. Okay. Yeah, that looks pretty easy. And then they like they demolish it, and then they're like, oh, no. What have I done? No. Okay, we gotta move on. This is taking so long. So, because we were talking about bosses, but also teachers and like all other people in authority. What are, like, as Christians, what's our interaction with them supposed to look like? Is there a correct way for Christians to navigate any relationships in this world? Is there a right way to do it? And this is the type of stuff that Peter is going to show us in this new section. And I'm really looking forward to learning all of this from Peter, because he's so straightforward and he's going to be so straight up with us. And I dig that about Peter, because he doesn't like beat around the bush. He's not like, you guys should sort of kind of like watch out for that stuff. And maybe if you think about it, do that. No, he's like, don't do this, do that, and don't do that, and do this. And I dig it. It's so good, because it's so easy for us to learn, and it's something that we need. And Peter tells us how we should live in verses 11 and 12. And this is important, because this is the foundation of our little mini-series. He says in verse 11, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." So Peter starts off using that same language that he started 1 Peter with, the whole idea that we are foreigners and outsiders. He says we're sojourners. And what that means is basically one who lives on earth as a stranger, whose home is located in heaven. And that is exactly what we are as Christians. And he tells us very bluntly to stop giving into fleshly lusts. And a fleshly lust is basically a natural human desire for what God has forbidden. So since the fall, we as humans have had desires for things that God does not allow us to have. And they're natural because we're naturally fallen. But God has forbidden those, but we have those desires. These can be desires for riches, desires for power, fame, like a whole bunch of Instagram likes, getting that blue check on Instagram. What even is that? Is it like when you get like billions of followers? Yeah, verified. But how do you get verified?
You have to have a lot,
right? Is it? It's probably like multi-millions, I would think, right?
Yeah, it's a lot.
that. Yeah. Make sure, like, okay.
Looking for that blue check, though. Lust can be drugs. You can lust for drugs. It can be any sexual experience outside of marriage. Lust can be that cute guy over there, but, like, feelings beyond that, or that cute girl and feelings beyond that. Lust can be so much. And he tells us that these desires battle against the souls. But as Christians, we cannot let these desires have a foothold in our lives. Then verse 12, Peter says, "Make your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." So Peter is telling us to live in a way that is honest, and to live in a way that when unsaved people look at us, we appear to be morally upright. They look at us and say, they live a moral life. So that when they accuse us of evil, which happens all the time, I know you guys see it, where people are just like, oh, Christians are this, Christians are that, Christians hate this and hate that, and Christians are this and this and that and that. It happens all the time in politics, in the news, in YouTube, and whatever else, Facebook, Instagram. When unsaved people, they're accusing Christians of evil. But Peter tells us to live honorably, so that when they see our good works, they will have no choice but to glorify God on the day of their judgment. So we are to live in a way that will bring those accusing Christians to glorifying God. So those who accuse Christians of being wrong, to a place where they will glorify God, even if it is on their day of judgment, whether it's by, you know, the rapture, or whether it's by death and being judged at, you know, the judgment seat of Jesus. Now, this is a huge task that Peter has given us. He's told us two things that are huge. Abstain from fleshly lusts. Don't let those natural desires that every human has that are forbidden by God have a foothold in your life. And then he says, live honorably amongst those who are not saved. This is a huge task. But luckily for us, he's going to use the rest of this mini-series to show us specifically how to live in the various institutions that we as Christians are commonly a part of, or that you at least are going to be a part of in the future. So today, Peter is going to show us how to live under government. Yes, this is good. I'm really glad that we're talking about this, because it amazes me how much you guys are into politics. Like, I know this might sound kind of funny, but some of you guys are seriously into politics. And when I was in junior high, the only reason I knew the governor's name was because he was Arnold Schwarzenegger. And it was like, of course, everybody knew that. But, like, I think it's because politics are so accessible now. Like, you see stuff on Instagram and Twitter and YouTube, and it's like, it's there, and you can read it, and you can understand it, and you can learn it at, like, an easier level. So people are talking about politics at, like, really young ages now. But I talk more about politics with you guys in Thrive Junior High than I do with anybody else that I know. Isn't that crazy? Like, I think it's really cool, but naturally you guys are just pretty into politics, and I think that's cool. And I'm like, I'm really not that into politics, but I'm always down to talk about politics because it's an important thing to talk about. And I'm really excited, but also a little, like, intimidated, because you guys can't even vote yet. So when you guys are able to vote, I feel like it's going to be, like, intense. Yeah, like, in a good way, but really intense. But this means that living with governing authorities It applies to you guys right now because you are making decisions about the governing authorities. You are deciding what you feel good about and what you don't feel so good about. And so this is really important for you guys right now. And it's habits that you can start making for in the future when you do start to vote and when maybe you do get more involved with local politics or maybe like the grand scale of politics. Not only in your future, but it does apply to you guys right now. So what we're going to do in this little outline is we're going to break down what Peter tells us, how he tells us to live. And we're going to use this little outline for each topic in the mini-series. So this week we're doing government. Next week it's going to be a relationship between a servant and a master. So basically relationships between like a you and a boss, so like a teacher, a principal. Even can apply to some parents' relationships as well. And so we're going to use this same outline so that we can keep things like uniform in our thinking. Like we get used to, oh, this is the way that I should live here and how I should do it and this and that and this and that. And so this is our outline. The way, the why, and the wow. Just kidding. The how. I wish it was three W's, but I couldn't. So the way, the why, and the how. And that is the way we're going to break, as far as I know, every teaching down. But each teaching is about a totally different topic. So we're going to apply this outline, like the way we should live under governing authorities, and why we should live the way that we should live, and then how to live the way that Peter is telling us to live. Capiche? ¿Entiendes, amigos? See, do you understand, my friends? That's what I said. Trinity, nah, never. Well, I said, do you understand? That's what it meant. That's funny. So the first thing that we're going to look at is the way that we are supposed to live under government authorities. And he tells us very plainly, and if you're taking notes, write this down. He tells us that we need to submit to the rule of governments. Very plainly, very simple, but sometimes easier said than done. Peter says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, in verse 13, whether to the king as supreme or to governors. So as Christians, we must submit to the rule of those who are placed in authority over us by the government. So that means Donald Trump. Yes, we must, as Christians, submit to his rule that has been given to him by voters and by government authority. Governor Jerry Brown, the governor of California. This is really embarrassing, but I had to Google his name yesterday. I really did. But we, as Christians, need to submit to governing authorities. The mayor of Modesto, Ted Brandvold. I also had to Google his name yesterday. But we need to submit to them. The police, the chief of police, the sheriffs, firemen, police scouts, boy scouts. Psych, we don't need to submit to boy scouts. But you get the idea. We need to submit to authorities that are placed over us by government. So that means when our government in America puts forth a rule, whether we agree with it or not, as Christians, according to this verse and a few other spots in the Bible, we must submit to it. Now, as all of you are these theological scholars, I bet when you heard that, this like red light in your head went off and you were like, but what if they tell me to do something that's against the Bible? Right? Did any of you? Yeah, Sam was like, yeah, right there, dude. And you guys are all totally right. Peter answers this question for us, but it's in another part of the Bible. In Acts 5, verse 29, it says, but Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than any human authority. So when human authority goes against the Bible, when human authority is telling Christians or the whole nation, including Christians, to do something that is against the commands of Scripture, then in that case, we follow God. But if the government is telling us to do something that we disagree with, that we like, oh, we're like, oh, I'm uncomfortable with that. Oh, do I really have to like wake up early, or do I really have to like go through a metal detector to get onto an airplane? Yes. Obeying governing authorities in that case, we have to do it. But in cases like when Christians smuggle Bibles into countries where that's not allowed, that is okay because as Christians, we are commanded to be in the Word on a regular basis. So the command that's given by the government against Bibles is overwritten by the command in the Bible to read the Bible. But if they don't have Bibles, how do they know that? Oh my goodness. Mind blown. Huh? I know, that's the, wow. Side note to this teaching. We need to bring more Bibles to places that need more Bibles. Somebody write that down. Okay, so that is the way. Really? Whoa.
She's like traveled the world. You know, like Australia and Spain and Turkey.
What you know about it? Come on, Tacy. Okay, so that's the way that we are supposed to live. Submit to governing authority. Something that's interesting about this is we don't have to like governing authorities as Christians. We don't have to go, oh, no matter what, I'm going to like the governor, or no matter what, I'm going to like everything the president does because I'm a Christian. No, but we do need to submit to the decisions and the rules that they set forth. Okay, so that's the way that we are to live. Second, we're going to look at the why. Why do we have to live this way? There's a couple of reasons why we must submit to governing authorities. First, this is interesting. They are appointed by God. Romans 13, verse 1 says, and if you're more interested in how to interact with governing authorities, Romans 13, write that down. Memorize it in your brain. Breaks all of that down for you. Romans 13, 1, though, says, everyone must submit to governing authorities, because all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So, this passage is telling us that God appoints the rulers of the world. Whether they are Christians or not, they are appointed by God. So this goes way back to the idea that God is sovereign. And sovereignty means that God is in control of everything. Even when the world seems like it's crazy, God is allowing the craziness to unfold because it's giving way to what is, you know, prophesied in Revelation, that he will return and that, you know, it will all be put back in order. But God appoints the leaders of the world, whether they are saved or not. And here's why. Because it is better and safer for large groups of people, nations, cities, states, to be under leadership, whether it's a Christian man or an unchristian man or a Christian woman or an unchristian woman. It's better for them to be under leadership than for them to be under just complete chaos. Because people plus chaos equals not good stuff. Did someone say dissonance?
I said disaster.
Oh, I thought you said dissonance. I was like, whoa, big word. Disaster is a big word too, though, but it's not as big a word. But that's a really good word. Sorry. What? But that's the first reason, because they are appointed by God, Christian or not. The second reason why we should live this way, submit to governing authorities, is to silence the accusers. Verse 15 says, it is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. So the second reason why we must submit to governing authorities is because this is one way that we can prove the people who are always accusing Christians of evil, it's one way that we can prove them to be foolish and that we can prove them to be wrong. When they say, oh, Christians are this, Christians rebel against the government, Christians hate these people, Christians do whatever they want whenever they want and just blame the Bible on it, by living under the authority of government and submitting to it, we prove them wrong. And it's just one way that we do. And as we go on in this mini series, we're going to see other ways to do that. But this is one way that we prove that they are foolish and that they are wrong. Now, lastly, the last point that we're going to look at is the how. How do we do it? And this is important because this is America. And this is the land of the free, America. I mean, we just finished celebrating a holiday where we throw racks of meat on open fire and then blow stuff up. And, like, nobody can tell us what to do. And if they do, we are mad. It's like, did you tell me to keep it down?
I saw it.
That's the dumbest thing anybody. That's crazy. But in America, when we hear the word submit, we start flipping through the Constitution looking for that part where it says overthrow the government if it's unfit. And the Constitution is the law of this land, but as Christians, it is not the law of our lives, and we need to understand that. We are good Christians before we are good Americans, and that's so important to understand, because you guys are making judgments and decisions about political leaders right now, and you need to understand as you do that, that you are called to be a good Christian before you are called to be a good citizen of the United States. Even though that means, technically according to the Constitution, bearing arms and overthrowing the government if you disagree with it. But as Christians, we are not called to that. Yeah, it's in the Constitution. Yeah. That's one of the main things about America. No! She's gonna... Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, that was the Civil War. And, the Civil War?
No.
Oh.
I remember.
Like, Abraham Lincoln and stuff. But in the Civil War, that was the goal. The goal was to overthrow the existing government. And it was common people doing it. Really cool side point. History. History's good. Even though it's sometimes boring. So verse 16 says... This is so good for you Americans. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. So as Christians, we have been made free. We speak all the time about this newfound freedom that we have in Christ. You guys know it well. But we cannot use our freedom in Christ as an excuse to do wrong things. We cannot use our freedom in Christ as what Peter calls a cloak for vice. And that rhymed. That's really cool. But we cannot use our freedom in Christ as an excuse to do wrong things. Our freedom, this is the interesting thing about Christianity. Our freedom is found when we no longer follow the patterns of this world that we were once enslaved to, because we were fulfilling those fleshly desires, but our freedom is found when we no longer follow those, and instead, we willingly become the bondservants of Jesus. That is where our freedom is found. Our freedom is not found in doing whatever we want, whenever we want, because Jesus has freed us. Our freedom is found in no longer being in bondage to the world and willfully choosing to be a bondservant of Jesus. Now, as we come to a close, verse 17 says, I love this because it's so poetic, so just listen to it, and I'll shed some tears, and you guys probably won't, but it's so beautiful. It says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. And right there where it says the king, growing up in Sunday school, you guys know it's talking about
Jesus.
No, it's not. It's not talking about Jesus. Haven't you listened to this whole teaching? It's about government.
You said Sunday school. You said Sunday school.
I know. I did it to trick you guys. It was a joke. It was a joke. It was to get it into your brain. No, no, no. That's what it feels like it should be, because this is America. But he says, honor all people. Honor all people. Live honorably amongst all people, saved or not. Love Christians. Love them. And we did a teaching, if you missed it, a couple Wednesdays ago, about how to love Christians. Fear God. Respect God. Look up to him. Be his servant and honor the king. And that king is not uppercase. It's not Jesus. Though, yes, we need to honor Jesus. But he ends this section saying, honor the president. Honor the governor. Honor the mayor. Honor the police. We don't have to like the decisions that our governing authorities make, but we need to submit to them, and we are called to honor them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this new section of 1 Peter, where you are going to lay so much out for us, and we are going to receive so much from you. We pray that it would be clear that we would apply it to our lives as we start shaping opinions about governing authorities. Show us the opinions that you want us to make, Lord. We love you so much. We give you this week. We pray that you would go before us. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen.